be to glory. Be the glory. Didn't I tell you all, if you would sing like that, you would be in the presence of God in the spirit? I told you. To God be the glory. Listen, Y'all have got to sing together again with these kids. Every Sunday, at least one song together. That was awesome. Yes, to God be the glory. Kids, how did you enjoy that, singing with the adults before the Lord? Isn't that marvelous when you sing to God and not to men? I'm telling you, angels were present singing with y'all. And I seen myself literally in the presence of God as I'm listening. And then I also seen myself at the wailing wall like the one of our Jewish brothers. Now, isn't God awesome? That's amazing. That's the way you got to come in here and sing. On one accord. There was no discord up there. One accord. That's what we're talking about. Amen?
Amen.
And you know it got to be awesome if all I can do is keep my big mouth shut. To God be the glory. This is an incredible time before God. When you get in the presence of God like that, I literally felt just my body was on fire from the Spirit. And anybody could have walked through that door with any illness, God would have healed them just like that. I believe that. And I just kept sensing from the Spirit of God that God wants to do something amazing. And you all just show God that this is your heart desire for Him, is to give Him glory, to give Him praise. And actually what you demonstrated today, a few moments ago, is what the whole message is about. Believe it or not. And so we're continuing to journey down spiritual warfare. And one of the greatest things that really defeats the enemy of God, that really defeats the demons that attack you, is when you begin to praise God in the middle of your tribulation. In the middle of your trials, you begin to fall on your knees. I can think of no one right now but Job. He had just gotten several messages. I mean, back to back, successions of messages. Hey, look, you just lost all your camels. And the keepers of them are dead. Oh, you just lost all of this. And the keepers of it are dead. And then you just lost all of this. And while that one was still talking, another messenger came and said, look, the great wind came out of the desert and blew the walls in on your house and all 10 of your kids are dead. I mean, while that messenger is trying to finish his bad news, another one was right up on him with another message of bad news. And then the greatest of all, that he just lost all of his kids. Wow. And you know what this blessed man of God said? Right in the midst of all of that destruction and all of that devastating news, he said, naked I came into this world and naked I shall leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, the man praised God in the middle of most folks probably would have died from a heart attack. But yet this man just praised God like crazy. And his wife couldn't understand it. And then what happened to him next? Satan jumped on him. That's not the text we're coming from today, but what I'm telling you all is that praise and worship is the hallmark of loving God.
Amen.
When you can forget about all your troubles, because when you go home, your troubles still may be there. When you go on the job tomorrow, your troubles still may be there. But one thing that is consistent, the Bible tells you and I that Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is constant. He's unchanging. No matter what goes on around us, the Son of God does not change. Okay? And he knows that bad things happen to his children. Some years back, a rabbi wrote a book, Why Does Bad Things Happen to Good People? Well, that's the fallen nature of man. We brought it on ourselves through our father Adam and our mother Eve. And from that moment forward, the world had been experiencing and have been experiencing bad things. And the worst of them all is that when men turn their backs on God. I've known families. I've been in ministry. My wife, I've been in ministry a long time, a very long time. And I've seen where families who was walking close with the Lord, and it appeared that they were, all of a sudden lose a loved one, and they stop coming to church. But where did it go? I'm mad at God. Are you kidding me? I do believe in this blessed book that said it is appointed unto men to die. That means you and I, because of the fallen nature of man, we are going to die a physical death unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and that's changed in an instant. Until that day, majority of us probably are going to go by way of death, okay? And guess what? If we live in the reality of death, we must also live in the reality of life. Because Jesus Christ himself said that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That means every person who have bypassed or gone through, shall I say, this tunnel of death is still alive in Christ Jesus. Okay? You remember Jesus at Lazarus' funeral? Well, actually, not at his funeral. I still like to use the word eulogy because the word eulogy simply means to speak good of someone. Okay? He's standing at the tomb of Lazarus. And boy, Lazarus' sister Martha and Mary, they're really upset. They knew that a couple of days earlier they had sent for Jesus. Okay, matter of fact, probably about 5 days earlier, maybe, Jesus didn't come. He stayed in Bethany beyond Jordan. Okay? Even his disciples were wondering, why have you gone to your friend? He needs you. And you know what? Let me tell you, that's why Isaiah 55 is so important to learn. And I'll tell you a little bit more about the story of Lazarus here. Isaiah, through the heart of God, tells you and I that God says, as high as the heaven is from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, said the Lord. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And when we don't understand, why does God allow certain tragedies to take place? God knows what he's doing. Why does he allow a person to hit rock bottom? God knows what he's doing. Okay? Anyway, so he allowed Lazarus to die. He knew it. Even still in Bethany, he told his disciples, he said, Lazarus is sleeping. They go, well, if he's sleeping, he'll wake up. And the Lord Jesus told those men, he said, no, Lazarus is dead. Anybody got an extra jacket here?
Maybe.
No. Yeah, that's
and so, anyway, those disciples, they didn't get it. Because standing before them was the God of life. The only one who gives life. And so they had the 2 days journey back over there to Bethany near Jerusalem. And when they get there, what's happening? People are lamenting. They're wailing. They're mourning over the death of Lazarus. One of the sisters said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Are you understanding that? He wouldn't have died. So that's a pretty heavy accusation in a sense that she, well, number one, well, she knew that he could have saved Lazarus, but at the same time, it's a pretty stern finger pointing. Okay? But one thing that he said, and this is what all of us need to get a hold of today, he said, though he be dead, yet shall he what?
Live.
But what they didn't know, that the God of creation was standing at the tomb of Lazarus on the hillside. And after praying to the Father, here, Jesus, stand there. And later, Jesus' own brother would write a statement known in the book of James that God is the Father of spirits. Do you ever know what that means? That means every human, God is the one that fathered that spirit. Okay? And here in the flesh, standing there at that tomb, Jesus, the Father of spirits, is standing at that tomb, okay? And he calls out to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, do you understand? Now, this is the voice of creation that just spoke. Okay? This is the voice that when there was nothing out there, when we didn't exist, and when he spoke, things came into existence. This is the voice that when he spoke in the darkness, light came. Huh? This is the voice that gave thanks, and all of a sudden you see a handful of fish and a couple of loaves of bread all of a sudden multiplied by the thousands. When this voice spoke, it went into the spirit of the dead. It went into Hades. Okay? And pulled Lazarus out. Can you imagine that? And the sister said, no, 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 no. Don't open that tomb. Don't you do that. He's been dead for 4 days. He stink. But the God of creation knew exactly what he was doing. Holy Spirit knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what spirit to go and get. And bring it back to the body that was decaying. That the moment Jesus spoke, the body stopped decaying and healed. Instantly. Now that's powerful. Second law of thermodynamics is decay. That means you're right. It goes into the half-life. That's what we call it. It breaks down. Okay? And so, God is able to take the impossible and make it possible. Amen? And so, we're going to be looking at Jesus. How in the world does praise and worship angers the spirit world and at the same time sets you free? Here, before I pray, there's a testimony. I forget which island that this pastor had gone to. And there was a person who was demon-possessed. Bad. And you know what the man of God did? He went in and he took some time off. And he got before God. And you know what the people who were Christians of that place did? They began to glorify God. They began to show the supremacy of Jesus Christ over the spirit world. They began to exalt God beyond measure. They began to proclaim the victory in Jesus' name. They began to proclaim every demon under the feet of Jesus. And they began to proclaim Jesus as Lord over Satan. Now, back again in the book of James, Jesus' brother, James makes a bold statement in that book. He said, beloved, it is good that you believe in God. He said, for the devils believe and tremble. Did you hear that? Beloved, it is good that you believe in God. But the devils believe and what? Trembles. Why do you think whenever Lord Jesus went to cast a demon out of a person, those demons shuddered and said, we know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. And you know what would happen? Jesus would tell those demons to be quiet. You tell them, be quiet. Why? It wasn't time for them to make his identity known. Other times the demons would say, have you come to cast us into the abyss? They thought, time's up. Okay? Eternal punishment. The pigs, the poor pigs were victims of the demons. Okay? 6,000 pigs perished because the demons went into them. They was afraid that it was time. They knew who Jesus was. An interesting point, when you look at that, well, let's just pray. Not just pray. I don't mean to disrespect God like that because I'm excited. You, please get a hold of what the Lord is saying today. True worship and true praise of the Father moves the Father in such a way. And it doesn't nothing always have to be for deliverance of us. It's simply because we love Him. And when we love God with all our heart, when we pour into God everything that's in us. This morning, I seen something coming from all of you all that I've never seen before. There was a glow shining forth on you all. You all were pouring out true praise and true worship to God. I seen Kristen like this. I mean, she was touching the Father with everything in her. This sister was just, listen, the intensity of worship from the heart moves the heart of God. I'm telling you, it's something about when God's people come together in true worship, things happen. That's why God wants musicians not to play for men anymore. God wants musicians to play to Him. God wants singers, and you all got beautiful voices. When you sing, don't sing to men anymore. Sing to God. Sing to Jesus. And watch the heart of the Father move. And you'll watch. I really need to pray. But I'm so excited. I'm telling you. I've been in places where angels joined in the worship service. They came in. And on my way back, I asked a friend of mine. We were driving back from a crusade from Charlotte, North Carolina. And Lord, forgive me. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we're so excited about hearing your word about praise and worship. And Lord, prayer is a part of worship. Prayer is the part of praise. Because in it, Lord, we tell you from our hearts, in the name of your Son, Jesus, who give us the gate. He opened the gate for us to come into you. And it allows us to fellowship with you. And Lord Jesus, you said, allowed us to sup with you and you with us. And it's just nothing on earth is greater when the doors of heaven is open and the staircase of heaven come down to us. And we get the chance to journey into the presence of God. There's nothing greater in the universe than being in the presence of God. And Lord, this morning, we're asking Holy Spirit to help us now. As we go into your living word, as we look back many thousands of years ago, as we look back, Lord, at the time of David, and we see what David does. He moves the heart of people, of the people of Israel, into true worship. And Lord, today we're going to look at that again. And we're going to learn, Father, from the Spirit, how to enter in to your holy sanctuary with praise and enter your courts with thanksgiving. We're going to do that, Father, because we love you. And we want the trumpets to sound. We want the drums to beat. We want the cymbals to play. We want the string instruments to sound off and the singers to raise their voice to heaven. We want them to do it enthusiastically and with much pride and joy in the Holy Ghost. We want them to enjoy being in your presence, Lord Jesus, and shout to the Lord a new song and, Lord, love you with every fiber of our being. We want that, Lord, because there's nothing greater than being in your presence. And so, Father, now I move myself out of the way as your Holy Spirit speak now to the voice and heart of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We miss Brother Amelia and Sister Vicky visiting their children in Texas. We thank God for them. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, please. We're going to go old school today. And it's such a powerful word. 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, after the book of 2 Kings, we're going to look at some things. Let me tell you the history of what's going on. The Philistines had previously conquered the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was this chest that's overlaid in gold and had cherubims with their wings facing inward. And inside this chest was Aaron's rod that had budded, the Ten Commandments, the tablets, and some of the manna. Okay? Inside. And that flat piece on top was known in English translation as the mercy seat. And even though in Hebrew that's the actual stating of it. It's just hard to explain. But anyway, in the tabernacle where God will come in, and he will sit between the cherubims. Right there. This portion of the tabernacle was known as the holiest of holies, or the most holy place of all, because God himself would come in there, and only the high priest was allowed in there once a year. And he better have his stuff right. And it came with a blood offering, okay? And were poured upon that mercy seat. Now, anyway, that Ark of the Covenant was only supposed to be carried by people who were the Levites. God had appointed them to carry that. So during King Saul's time, the Philistines captured it. And their idea was, and it's kind of crazy, the Philistine believed that God was only the God of the mountains. Okay, the high places. So they figured if they would capture the Ark of the Covenant, that they would stop Israel's victory against them. Well, guess what happened? When they had captured it, all of a sudden, every Philistine woman became barren. Oh, yeah. And boils broke out among them. All kind of diseases broke out among them. And one of them got wise enough, one of the kings said, wait a minute. It's that Ark of Israel. Okay? Their God is fighting for them even down here. Let's get rid of this thing unless we all get wiped out. I mean, they knew they were going extinct. God was going to kill them all. And so what they did, they took and got a cart, a freshly made built cart, and oxen. And they put it on it, and they headed up the road and said, go. They pointed it in the right direction because they wanted that thing from around them. It was killing their whole nation. And so the man of God, Obed Edom, saw it and took it to his house. And but when they were moving the cart in place, one of the men fell and touched it, and it wasn't a Levite. What do you think happened to that man? Instantly. He died instantly. So, the cart remained at Obed-Edom's house for quite some time, some years. But David, by the Holy Ghost, remembered what God desired. Who was responsible for what? And who headed up true worship in the house of God and over the nation? There's a role to play before God by all of us. Even in the body of Christ, that hasn't changed. Because the Holy Spirit has given all of us gifts and talents for the sole purpose of worshiping God and Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to neglect those gifts. Okay? God didn't give me a singing voice. I don't know what happened. Why he left me out, I don't know. Okay? He didn't give that to me. But he gave me other talents. Now, let's take a look. So David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the Ark of God. The Ark of God represented the presence of God. Okay? So this is huge. And pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one may carry the Ark of God but the Levites. Other words, he probably went back and did his homework and read through the writings of Moses that no one's supposed to handle the Ark of the Covenant except the Levites, the one tribal people that God reserved for himself out of the whole nation of Israel. These were to be the priests to God. So they were the only ones responsible for handling the holy things of God. Just like coming into the house of God. If we get out of line and we handle God's holy things, what do you think going to happen? That's why Paul told us about communion. Communion is the other sacred thing that we have in the house of God. And Paul said, don't you dare eat communion in an unworthy what? Manner. In other words, if you got unconfessed sins, you better get that thing right before God before you partake in the Lord's Supper. Because you're going to end up making yourself sick. And Paul said, many are sick among you, and some have fallen asleep. In other words, God have killed some because of it. Woo! It's like touching the Ark of the Covenant and you're not being a Levite. Okay? Now, so it says, nobody but the Levites, for the Lord had chosen them to carry the Ark of God and to minister before him forever. Some of you all have been given talents, and some people seem to think that, oh, I can go and retire now. Or they'll get angry and say, no, I'm not serving God anymore in that capacity. Or others may say, no, you don't serve God like that anymore. We don't want you in that anymore. What? Your appointment is a lifetime appointment. Who are you going to tell God that you're not going to do it anymore? And who am I to tell you that you're not going to serve God anymore? That's not my responsibility. Okay? Our responsibility is to get before God and worship him and to praise him, to exalt his holy name, and to really exalt God in the midst of everything, whether it's good or bad, okay? Whether you got money in the bank or not, if the sun wreck your truck or not, or somebody burn the biscuits or not, it doesn't matter. And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of God, of the Lord, to his place, which he had prepared for it. Then David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the son of Kohath, Uriel, the chief, and 120 of his brethren, and of the son of Merari, and Asaiah, the chief, and 220 of his brethren, and of the sons of Gershom, and Joel, the chief, and 130 of his brethren, and of the son of Eliphaz, the Shemai, the chief, and 200 of his brethren, of the sons of Hebron, and Eliel, the chief, and 8 of his brethren, of the sons of Uzziel, and Aminadad, and the chief, and 112 of his brethren. And David called Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel and Asaiah and Joel and Shimei and Eliel and Abinadab. Go ahead and say those very fastly. He said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult him about the proper order." So that's a way of doing things. God is not the God of confusion. Okay, he's not the author of confusion. God gave talents. God gave strict orders on how things are to be done. And that's why one of the things that Paul told Timothy over in the New Testament, and he says, listen, Timothy, this is how you're to conduct yourself in the house of the Lord. All right? So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brothers to be, and here you go, ladies, y'all hear this? To be the singers accompanied by instruments of music. String instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy. Does it sound like God wants you to come in church and be silent? Sound like to me, God wants you to raise the roof, okay? Have a good time in here and worship him. Don't come in here with no long faces. Come in here excited and full of joy. And allow the Holy Spirit to move you beyond measure in praise and worship of God. And that's why I tell y'all, I said, when the Spirit move y'all, bang them things, Ms. Vicky, tear that keyboard up. We'll get the drummer going, get them going. Okay, we're looking for some guitar players and everybody else. And God's going to send them, I believe. But when you come in, come with your voices raised. Don't worry about this, what this one is doing with the mic. You get the mic and you sing to the best of your ability. You sing to the glory of God. You sing to Jesus like you never sang to him before. If nobody else want to sing, give the mic to Kobe. He'll sing.
He will.
Okay? And come on and give God the glory. There's no reason why the children of God should be feeling down. You're feeling down? Let's have a party. Get everybody together. Let's give the Lord a concert. Huh? Let's have a symphony of praise. Let's get an orchestra together and let's just worship God. Bump all this other stuff. The devil want to harass you? Say, devil, you want to harass me? I'm going to harass you by praising God. And come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. I guarantee it will freak people out. If one of you is having a hard time, if you get on the phone and say, hey, I'm having a bad time right now, can you come over with your guitar? Or, hey, I'm having a hard time, can you go to church and get the drums? Hey, I'm having a hard time, we're going to meet at Shelly's house, and RV is going to get the keyboard and the drums, and can you meet me over there? And all of a sudden in the front yard, what's happening? God's people lifting the roof out there, having a good time glorifying God and Lord Jesus. And people are driving by. What in the world are they doing? They're having church? You betcha. We're worshiping God in spirit and truth. In the midst of troubles,
amen,
you're worshiping God. I guarantee you. I dare any of you all to try that. I dare Miss Belinda get on the phone and say, Tamara, can you and Shelly come over here? We're going to set up the sound system on the lawn out here, and we're going to raise the roof out here. Okay? Why? Because the enemy does not want you to praise God. When you look beyond yourself and see the majesty of God in music and worship, when you see the strength of Jesus Christ through your worship, like Nehemiah told the children of Israel, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you get out there shouting joy to the Lord, guess what's going to happen? Things in heaven is going to be moved. Are you hearing me? Now, if you go to an earthly concert, and some of you teenagers here do, you put them on. Over at Santa Fe, the high school have their little things, the marching band and their concert piece, the jazz band. That make you feel good for a moment, doesn't it? What if you turn those things to God? What if you turn those talents and those gifts back to heaven where they came from? And worship the Father that way? Huh? What if you teach your children to do that? And Matthew, instead of knowing everybody what you're singing, why don't you get in the shower and sing, shout to the Lord? Huh? Lift the roof in the shower. Do something. Okay? Because people who are saying that God does not want all these things in the church, I don't see where there's one indication in the Bible where the Lord Jesus Christ said, don't do that. Not one. Are you hearing me? So, in verse 17, so the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Becheriah. Asaph, I believe, as you go through the Psalms, you see some of those with his name on them. Am I right, Tamara?
Yes.
What about King David? I want y'all to see something here. Watch this as we read on. And so, look at verse 18. And with them, their brethren of the second ring, Zechariah, Ben, Jaziel, and Shemimoth, Jehiel, Uni, Elab, Benaniah, and Messiah, and then Mattathiah, Eliphele, and Michneel, Obed-Edom, one, he was the one that had the Ark of the Covenant. He made sure it was taken care of. And Jael, the gatekeepers, the singers. Did you hear that, Emma? Are you not one of the singers of God? Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were to sound the cymbals of bronze. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemotha, and Jael, and Uni, and Eliab, and Messiah, and Benaniah with the strings according to Alama, and then Methinel and Lalophile. Woo! Tie my tongue there for a second. And then Michneel, Obed-Edom, Jael, and Aziel to direct with harps on the what? I don't know what that is. That could be an instrument, an ancient instrument. Sheminith. Yeah, Sheminith. I don't know what that is. I have to Google it. I'm sorry. But, and then, Cananiah, leader of the Levites, was instructor in charge of the music because he was skillful. Do you see what's happening here? They had a music director, did they not? Do you see that? Appointed a music director. And if you look at this, this is not a small band of people. If you go back and count this is several hundred people. So when they're coming together, the whole nation is being rocked. Do you see that? Where is the nation of the United States at? Why aren't we doing this? Where's the church? Why aren't we sounding as one big voice before God and one big orchestra? Where are we? Don't come in and be quiet before the Lord until he tell you to. During praise time, then let him hear your voice. Let him hear the instruments. Let him hear and see you carrying out his orders, his every command, and singing to him, Emma, to the top of your voice. Raise the roof with God. Let him know, Lord, I'm in the house. I'm in the house for you, Jesus. I'm here to sing to you, Jesus, because you're worthy. I'm here to play this instrument because you are worthy. That's why you're doing these things. Not because somebody made you, or somebody ask you, you're doing it because God gave you the talent when you was born. The Holy Ghost placed in you the gift of music. He did that so that you can sing to the Lord and play to the Lord. Not be selfish and run out here and earn thousands and millions of dollars for yourself. He gave you those talents for him to sit in his courts and sing, to walk in his gates with praises. Okay? That's why God has done these things. Not for your own good. Not for your own benefit. But for his. It's a noteworthy thing. Let's look on. Look at verse 25. So David, excuse me, the elders of Israel and the captains of 1,000 went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And so it was when God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. Verse 27. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. Did you hear that? He put on his Sunday, what we call our Sunday best. So when these people came before God, they came looking good, they came sounding good, and they were good. Okay? Do you really think you were going the king was going to allow you to get up there and if you couldn't play? Because your audience was an audience of one to them. And that audience was who?
God.
God himself. And you really think the king was going to allow you to come monkeying around? Half-stepping? You really think those music directors was going to allow you to come in dragging your feet? You betcha they were not going to tolerate that. So they polished their scales. They fine-tuned their scales. And they gave God their very best. And the greatest part of that is not only were they good physically, but they demonstrated from their hearts that they were good. That's what the word joy means. They came in with a joyful what? Heart. Nobody had to make them. They was excited about coming into the house of the Lord. Oh boy, we're going to have a good time today. Good time what? Good time praising to him. We're going to put this thing together. And they gave it everything they got, everything they had, they put into it. Because those moments were special for the house of Israel. And if they were special then, everybody, they should be special now. Because worthy is the Lamb. Over, y'all sung that song today, the Revelation song, ladies. What do you think that come from? That comes from 2 chapters in the book of Revelation. It comes from Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Take a quick look at it. We'll come back to 1 Chronicles real quick. But look, look what John wrote. As he's looking at things in heaven, one of the first thing that God shows him is true worship. Look at verse 8. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Look at that. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Did y'all not sing that this morning? Now, Look over in chapter 5 and look at verse 12. What is the song that you see there?
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Worthy is the Lamb. Were y'all not singing it as part of the chorus line, Worthy is the Lamb, in there? To receive what? Power and riches. If you look at this, these are all wonderful songs. And John is experiencing this as the angels of heaven and the other saints that are in heaven, they're singing praises to the Lord and to him who sits upon the throne. This is amazing stuff that's taking place in heaven. Now, back to 1 Chronicles. So David, in verse 27, David has on his very best. So he's clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark. The singers, ladies, you hear that? The singers and the kinnear. I don't know what that means, the music master with the singers. Oh, okay, that's the leader. David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with string instruments and harp. Did you see that? And it happened as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David whirling and playing music, and she despised him in her heart. What did she just see happen? Anybody know?
David was
dancing before the Lord. Okay? This is the only place actually you see in Scripture where they're dancing. King David, the leader of Israel, in his almost like a priestly garment. Did you see that, where how he was dressed? Almost like a priestly garment. Is before God singing and dancing. And also doing what? Playing the instrument. He's leading it. The king is. But no, don't y'all expect me. No, no. I can play drums. But I can't get out there and sing and lead y'all. But I'll try. I'll give God my very best. But y'all will make me sound good too. Y'all will be on my left and on my right. You'll be in the front and you'll be in the back. We'll all be doing it together. Amen. And we'll give God what he deserves. We'll give him true praise from our heart. And we'll magnify the Lord Jesus Christ because he's worthy to be praised. Not sometime, but what? All the time. Because he's God and God alone. And beside him there is no other God. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And absolutely with certain, no one else can come to the Father except through Jesus. Okay? So why would we want to praise him that's the only way to the Father? Why wouldn't we want to give God the glory, who's the only God who sits upon the throne? Huh? Why wouldn't we want to give our Creator, the one who created us from nothing, who himself made the decision, saying, let us make man in our image. Why wouldn't we want to praise him? Why wouldn't we want to worship him? Huh? To thank him and honor him, to give him the glory that rightly deserves his name, that his name rightly deserves, shall I say. Why not give God our very best? Okay? That's why I say when you come in, set the phones. The greatest thing you can do is leave your phone at the door. Okay? And when you come in here, come with the mindset that, God, I'm here to see you. Father, I'm here to worship you and you alone. Okay? And watch what Lord Jesus does when his children come together to worship him. Okay? And that's, it's an amazing thing. Nothing is greater than true worship. And the enemy of God knows this. Why do you think Satan does so much to try to take your joy away? Huh? Because when you praise God, God listens. And not only that, what do you think was happening in Israel when all of this was going on? What do you think was going on in the heavenly realms? Huh? What did you think the Holy Spirit did when David then began to do this? Huh? I say to you that he opened up the windows of heaven. He opened up the gates of heaven and allowed those praises to go through. Huh? I believe that God himself was in attendance. I believe the Father looked down on his son David, dancing and singing to him. And the other singers and the other musicians and the other praises. Can you imagine? Even the little children had joined in this great celebration before our God. Can you just see the singing now? What's going on? And the angels are singing along with them. You think they're going to let man praise God by himself? No. I believe the heavenly host gets involved. When there's true worship coming from the earth, And let me tell you today, all around this world, true worship is going on at different times today. And those angels are joining in each one of those congregations around the world, singing and praising God. And the Holy Spirit is lifting these voices up to heaven and lifting praise, lifting worship, and even prayer. And he's watching things happen down here on the earth. And he's moving God's children to direct their hearts to heaven and to Lord Jesus. I mean, this is a time in which we dedicate solely to God. And we protect this time because it's precious moments for us to go before the Lord our God. There's no one like God. When you are in the presence of Jesus, can you imagine when the disciples, when they sat at Jesus' feet, how awestruck they were every time they was in the presence of the Lord? Can you imagine waking up with Jesus every morning and laying down beside him? Because they traveled a lot, so they had to sleep out in the open. And so can you imagine sitting across the table from him and talking? Can you imagine also watching the demonic? One of the greatest things that Lord Jesus allowed his disciples to witness that night when the storm came up on the sea and Jesus quieted that storm. And a boat all of a sudden was at the docks at the south end of the Sea of Galilee, and it pitch black. Now, I want you to get this in your head. There are no street lights. They don't have any flashlights, and certainly no phones that y'all can turn your little lamps on your phones. What was happening here? These men and Lord Jesus went up on the side of the hill that night in the pitch black. What these 12 Jewish boys didn't know, that he was walking them into the heart of a cemetery. Why the cemetery? Because what do you think tombs are? It's where they bury dead people. They had no idea that they went from one disastrous to another. All controlled by the prince of darkness. As they go up the side of this hill, they're following Jesus. And there, out of nowhere, comes this naked man. And he's full of demons. And as this man approached Jesus, instead of jumping on him, he knew better, didn't he? He sits at his feet. Because anybody else that passed that way, that demon-possessed man, he was so strong by those demons that he literally broke chains off his arms, broke the shackles loose from his wrist. And the guy was in so much torment that he would cut himself with rocks. He was a cutter. Because the demons were raging at him. They were tormenting him. To that demon-possessed man that night, these 12 men didn't know what was going on. They had no idea where the Lord had just took them. They knew as Jewish boys that they weren't supposed to be in cemeteries because that made them ceremonially unclean because they came in contact with that which was dead. And they had to go back and do a ceremonial washing. And it was only a certain time of the day that they would become clean again. And here, Lord Jesus took them not only into the cemetery, at night, but they faced demons that night. Wow. And then the demons spoke. They heard the demon speak in their language. Have you come to torment us? Have you come to cast us into the abyss? Because we know who you are. Jesus already knew who they were. But he just asked them the name for the sake of probably the 12 men who were with him. What is your name? We're Legion, for we're many. And Legion, when you equate it, is either from 3,000 to 6,000. It's a cohort in the Roman army. From 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. That many demons in one person. Can't even imagine that. And then they asked Jesus, permit us to go over there to those pigs. Jesus granted them. So they come out of the man and went over into the pigs, and the pigs ran violently down that hill and jumped into the Sea of Galilee and drowned. Some of the men who was a keeper of the pigs went and told the town people, and they came back. Seeing him who was once deranged because of the demons, sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind, but their pigs were gone. And they begged Jesus to leave their territory. These weren't Jews. These were Gentiles. And the pigs were used in demon worship. And remember, to a Jew, pigs were considered as
unclean.
So did you see what Lord Jesus did with these men that night? Boy, he took them. He broke all kinds of boundaries with them, didn't he? But they learned a powerful lesson that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Lord over the spirit world. He's the Lord over even death. And he's Lord even over any kind of thing that you and I face. And you know what happened? As he's getting ready to get back in the boat, the man who was once demon-possessed wanted to follow him. And Jesus said, no. You go back to your townmen and your countrymen, and you tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And you know what? That man left there excited because he had been set free. He'd been set free. Demons does not like it when you mention Jesus. When you begin to exalt Jesus, when you begin to praise him, begin to worship him, begin to honor him, demons don't like it. But they can't stop it. The more your tongue begin to speak Jesus, the more they loosen their grip on you. The more you begin to glorify God the Father, the more the demons walk away from you. Because in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Okay? So if you get yourself in trouble spiritually, you know what to do. Because what King David did here, he took a nation of people and he united them as worshipers and as praisers of the one true God. And now we know there's another element to God, Jesus Christ, his Son. And in his name, we're able to worship the Father. We're able to come to the Father and do amazing things in Jesus' name. And since Jesus is back in heaven now with the Father, the Holy Spirit is here with us. And with the strength of the Holy Spirit, we're able to do the impossible now. You see little kids now doing things that they wouldn't otherwise been able to do by the Holy Spirit. But in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit tells you and I things that we didn't know before. He even gives us things that we never had before. So not only does he tell us things, he gives us things. Okay? And he opened our eyes to the spirit world in a manner that we've never saw before. And when you look and you allow the Spirit to move your heart, you go, wow. Who do you think controlled the spiritual climate in the worship service? Who do you think control your praises and how that goes up to the Father? The Holy Spirit does. Who do you think control Bible study when you're opening up the scriptures and you're examining the scriptures very carefully? We call it studying. Who do you think teach you the deep things of God? Who do you think help you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit of the living God is the one inviting you into the arms of Jesus. You just can't show up and say, Jesus, here I am. That means your heart has been pulled and tugged by the Holy Spirit to come into the arms of Christ. Okay? He's amazing. The Holy Spirit is amazing. Who do you think can take that broken heart of your teenage daughter when nobody else can console her? All of a sudden, she called on Jesus, and now she's sleeping like a baby on a pillow. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of the living God just comforted her. When you're so angry that you feel like biting nails, who do you think can take that anger and turn it into joy? Or that deep sorrow and turn it into something so wonderful, something so soothing, and relax your troubled heart? The Spirit of God. Same one that hovered over this earth when nothing was out here and nothing but water covered it. The same Holy Ghost was the one who did that. The same one that's here today as we're getting ready to close. It's the same one that's, he doesn't change. Understand what his role is now and how he loves Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves Jesus. King David loved God. King David prophesied about Lord Jesus. Can you imagine King David wanting to see Lord Jesus? He wanted to see the Messiah. And he probably thought the Messiah was coming during his day. But when the Spirit showed him the torture of the Messiah, can you imagine the pain David felt in his heart as he wrote Psalms 22? Have you taken the time to read Psalms 22? As it lays out the suffering heart of the Messiah on the cross, the agony that he went through, the Holy Spirit put that in David to write. Even in Psalm 16, it talks about things of the Holy Spirit that David wrote, things that he would experience. And so, but praise. God loves you, children, when you sing to him. Lord Jesus loves it when you all come together in his name. And when all of God's children sing on one accord, amazing things happen. Okay? So, spiritual warfare, part of the weapon system that God has given us in spiritual warfare, is true worship and true praise of the Father and of the Son. Use it. Use it loosely. And use it wisely. You can't use it up. Amen? You can't use it up. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Next week, the Lord may take us down a new journey as we finish this study by putting on the armor of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought us so far in the teaching on spiritual warfare from the garden to Cain. To true worship, and now it's time for battle. It's time for the children of God to put on the armor of God. That's what next week is about. Does a soldier no good to go through all that training unless he knows how to put on his battle gear and get ready to fight? That's what next week's about. And don't be surprised, and I'm going to say this and we're going to pray, that you don't encounter some battles between now and next week. And from that moment forward, but at least you'll know what you have to do. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had never lost a battle to Satan. And he never will. He's never lost a skirmish. That's a small fight. And he never will. Every head bow. Every head bow. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, what eye has seen, who has looked at the things that you have for us, those who love you, and what heart has understood those things, and what ear has heard you speak about those wonderful things that you have in store for us. But Lord Jesus, you tell us through your word that Holy Spirit knows those things. And he has revealed those things to us. And those things all are summed up in one, Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, he's the barrier between us and a fiery hell. He is the doorway between us and you, Lord God. He's everything. And Lord Jesus, we thank you coming down not only as the Son of God, but as the Lamb of God without sin, who took away the sin of the world. And Lord, it is by your blood that we have victory over the evil one. Your word doesn't tell us that the gates of hell won't attack us, but it tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And in your name, we can do many things, but the greatest of all is loving you and loving one another with the same love that you have loved us with. I ask now, Lord, cover your children right now. Cover us by your blood, cover us by your spirit. Keep us, Lord, until we meet again, and help us to invite others into the fellowship with the Father and with the fellowship in the Son, for our fellowship is with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Wow. Everyone, this is Victoria.
Hi.
She came by a week ago, I guess it was, a week and a half ago. And she's also is a massage therapist.
Yep.
So she'll crack your bones too.
Yeah.